We're now going to hear our readings. We have a reading from Job 23, 1 to 17, and Hebrews 4, 12 to 16.
The reading from Job. Then Job replied, "Even today my complaint is bitter. His hand is heavy in spite of my groaning. If only I knew where to find him. If only I could go to his dwelling. I would state my case before him and fill my mouth with arguments. I would find out what he would answer me and consider what he would say. Would he oppose me with great power? No, he would not press charges against me. There, an upright man could present his case before him, and I would be delivered forever from my judge. But if I go to the east, he's not there. If I go to the west, I do not find him. When he is at work in the north, I do not see him. When he turns to the south, I catch no glimpse of him. But he knows the way that I take. When he has tested me, I shall come forth as gold. My feet have closely followed his steps. I have kept to his way without turning aside. I have not departed from the commands of his lips. I have treasured the words of his mouth more than my daily bread. But he stands alone, and who can oppose him? He does whatever he pleases. He carries out his decree against me, and many such plans he still has in store. That is why I am terrified before him. When I think of all this, I fear him. God has made my heart faint. The Almighty has terrified me. Yet I am not silenced by the darkness, by the thick darkness that covers my face." Amen.
Hebrews chapter 4, verses 12 to 16. For the word of God is living and active. Sharper than any double-edged sword, it penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we must give account. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has gone through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet was without sin. Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Amen.
How is it with your soul? Now, who knows a very famous person who said that? Does anybody know who said it? How is it with your soul? John Wesley. Now, you all should know that. He's the founder of Methodism. Dear, we need to do some work on that, don't we? So, this is something that John Wesley, the founder of Methodism, used to ask his brothers and sisters in faith in their class meetings whenever they met. John Wesley felt that those of faith should be able to go deeper. It's easy to ask somebody, "How are you?" Of course, the usual response is, "I'm fine." That ends the conversation there. In between the "how are you," there could be a myriad of feelings and words that go through the person's head. I know when I'm walking my dog, quite often somebody will say to me, "How are you?" I could tell them everything, but I'm not going to, am I? Because I don't know them. So I normally go, "Fine, thanks." It's all what we all do, isn't it? How is it with your soul? Maybe part of that answer is also, where is God in your life? Is he far away or is he in your soul? In today's reading, we hear about Job. In the land of Uz, there lived a man whose name was Job. This man was blameless and upright. He feared God and shunned evil. He had 7 sons and 3 daughters, and he owned 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, and 500 donkeys, and a large number of servants. He was the greatest man among the people of the East. But bad things happened to Job. All of Job's animals are killed or stolen. Job's children die. Job himself is afflicted with sores all over his body. His wife and friends turn against him. Job cannot understand why God is treating him this way. He doesn't know what he's done wrong to make God test him. I think we can all relate to Job in some ways. How often in certain situations have we felt alone and abandoned by God? I can think of times in my life when I felt like that. And whilst I've been at college during formation as a minister, I have often cried out, "Where are you, God?" Especially when I'm trying to juggle family life, study, and work. Whilst I was reading this passage about Job, I was reminded of a story about the hymn, "It Is Well With My Soul." Do some of you know that? "It's Well With My Soul"? So this is the story of "It Is Well With My Soul." These aren't my words. I've kind of cobbled them together off the internet, but it was easier than trying to write it all myself. Horatio Gates Spafford was born in New York on the 20th of October, 1828. But it was in Chicago that he became well known for his clear Christian testimony. He and his wife, Anna, were active in their church, and their home was always open to visitors. They were blessed with 5 children and considerable wealth. Horatio was a lawyer and owned a great deal of property in his home city. Not unlike Job in the Old Testament in the Bible, tragedy came in great measure to this happy home when their son, who was 4, died suddenly of scarlet fever. Then only a year later, in October 1871, a massive fire swept through the downtown Chicago, devastating the city, including many properties owned by Horatio. That day, almost 300 people lost their lives, and around 100,000 were made homeless. Despite this, despite their own substantial financial loss, the Spaffords sought to demonstrate the love of Christ by assisting those who were grief-stricken and in great need. 2 years later, in 1873, Spafford decided his family should take a holiday in England. Horatio was delayed because of business, so he sent his family ahead, his wife and their 4 remaining children, all daughters, 11-year-old Anna, 9-year-old Margaret Lee, 5-year-old Elizabeth, and 2-year-old Tanetta. On 22nd of November 1873, while crossing the Atlantic on the steamship Ville de Havre, the vessel was struck by an iron sailing boat. 226 people lost their lives as the boat sank within 12 minutes. All 4 of Horatio Spafford's daughters perished, but remarkably, Anna Spafford survived the tragedy. Those rescued, including Anna, who was found unconscious, arrived in Cardiff, South Wales. Anna immediately sent a telegram to her husband, which included the words, "Saved alone." Receiving Anna's message, he set off at once to be reunited with his wife. One particular day during the voyage, the captain summoned him to the bridge of the vessel. Pointing to his charts, he explained that they were then passing over the very spot where the boat had sunk and where his daughters died. It is said that Spafford returned to his cabin and wrote the hymn, "It Is Well With My Soul." There and then, the first line of which is, "When peace like a river attendeth my way." The tragedy was clear for the inspiration of the moving and well-loved hymn. Horatio's faith in God never faltered. He wrote to Anna's half-sister, "On Thursday last, we passed over the spot where she went down in the mid-ocean. The water's 3 miles deep. But I do not think of my loved ones there. They are safe, dear lambs." After Anna was rescued, a minister travelling with the surviving group remembered Anna saying, "God gave me 4 daughters. Now they have been taken from me. Someday I will understand why." Naturally, Anna was devastated, but she testified that in her grief and despair, she had become conscious of a soft voice speaking to her. "You were saved for a purpose." She remembered something a friend had once said. "It's easy to be grateful and good when you have so much, but take care that you're not a fair-weather friend to God." Following this deep tragedy, Anna gave birth to 3 more children, but she and Horatio faced even more sadness. In 1880, their only son, Horatio, named after his brother, also died at the age of 4. In August 1881, the Spaffords left America with a number of other like-minded Christians and settled in Jerusalem. There they served the needy, helped the poor, and cared for the sick, and took in homeless children. Their desire was to show those living about them the love of Jesus. The original manuscript of the Spafford's hymn was only 4 verses, but later another verse was added. The music, which was written by Philip Bliss, was named after the ship on which Horatio and Anna's daughters had died, Wilderhave. Horatio Spafford died of malaria on the 16th of October, 1888. Anna Spafford continued to work in the surrounding areas of Jerusalem until her death in 1923. Both Horatio and Anna were laid to rest in Jerusalem. It can truly be said, in the words that Spafford penned, that it is well with their soul. What Horatio Spafford and Job have in common is that they remained faithful to God, even when their faith was tested by the tragedies they faced in their lives. God has sent an accuser to Job to test his faithfulness. Job is crying out to God to try and understand why he's been tested. What has he done? He doesn't understand. In the words of Job we've heard this morning, he's responding to one of the three friends. Although I'm not sure they are truly friends, they seem to have taken the position that he is suffering so much because he has committed a terrible sin and that God is punishing Job. But Job silences these 3 friends by showing that there is no correlation even in this world between righteousness, prosperity, or being between wickedness and suffering. Verse 3 says, "If only I knew where to find him. But if I go to the east, he's not there. If I go to the west, I do not find him. When he is at work in the north, I do not see him. When he turns to the south, I catch no glimpse of him." Job just cannot find or see God anywhere. We can feel Job's anguish, Job's suffering. He wants to talk to God. He wants to state his case. But God is present everywhere. One of the verses in the passages leaped out at me as when I was wondering why God was testing Job. It says, "But he knows the way that I take. When he has tested me, I shall come forth as gold. My feet have closely followed his steps. I have kept to his way without turning aside. I shall come forth as gold." When gold is put into a fiery furnace, it burns brighter and becomes purer. Job is saying it doesn't matter what God does or how God tests me, he can throw all the tragedies at me. But despite all of this, I will remain faithful to God. God knew where Job was. God knew that Job was going through. What if God put Job in the furnace to purify him? I wonder when we go through difficult times, if through those experiences we can come out changed, knowing God deeper and ourselves. Not that God is a vengeful God and puts us in situations that are difficult for us, because I don't believe that. But we are human, and let's face it, rubbish things happen. Looking back on my own life experiences, the good and the bad, I can see now that God had a plan for me. And those experiences have led me to where I am today, standing here before you as a student minister. We find other places in Scripture where the image of a furnace is used to describe God's purifying ministry through suffering. Isaiah 48:10. See, I have refined you, though not as silver. I have tested you in the furnace of application, describes Israel's suffering in Egypt. Of course, there was another man who suffered in the Bible. His name was Jesus. He came to earth in human form. He suffered. He took on our sins and he died for us. On the cross, Jesus cries out the words, my God, why have you forsaken me? Even Jesus felt distant from God. It's easy to praise God when everything is good in our lives. But when we are suffering, when we are struggling, when we face pain, when we are crying out, where are you, God? It's hard to praise God. In our reading from Hebrews, we are told that God is alive and active, and that nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. It points us directly to Jesus, the Son of God, that we have a high priest who is able to empathize with our weaknesses, because Jesus suffered just as we do. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Just like the oranges, without God, we sink. With God's love and faith, we float. And when we cry out, where are you, God? He is always with us. He is present everywhere, even in the darkest of times. As for Job, we never really find out why God was testing him. But if you read the very last chapter of the book, everything turns out all right. So my challenge to you this week is, maybe in your small groups, ask people, how is it with your soul? And see what replies you get.